Chiefs fans, step one in this offseason plan is a win in the wild card round. We're going to get into how they do that and who's going to be there to help them get it done. Welcome to Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Ooh, it's here.
Happy Red Friday. It's playoff time. And going to up against the Steelers team that the Chiefs played just a couple weeks ago. But they're going to have a couple more players possibly going into this game than they had the last time. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
I think the injury report's real interesting. I think, obviously, we'll get into the matchup here later. But a little bit of concern because the week started pretty positive in terms of injuries. Got a little bit cloudier here as the week went on. Where are you at with where, particularly the running backs, but where everybody is injury-wise?
I mean, it could be just they may only have two running backs that they've been playing with Gore and McKinnon going into this game. I mean, we'll have to see how that ends up. They may bring somebody up from the practice squad if neither of those guys can go. CEH looks like he had a little bit of a downgrade on Thursday, went back to not practicing at all. So that really brings into question of whether or not he's going to play. And Darrell is still limited, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a concern. I mean, not like burn down the house concern, but you'd like to see them progress in a positive way, not taking a step back. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't happen, but a complete did not participate in practice for Clyde Edwards-Helaire on Thursday. That tells me that something isn't quite there. And especially when you're dealing with the shoulder and the way that it's built, like, you know, one pop, one fall down, one slip on a wet practice field could pop you again, and maybe that sets you back. I'm pure speculation, but I think something happened where I doubt that we see him at this point.
I would agree with that. I think he's probably not going to play. I would wonder if Darrell Williams is going to play. And a guy that also took a step back on Thursday is Tyreek Hill. So that's something to watch as well.
Yeah, I'm concerned about that as well, because I think what you want to do, and I've heard a lot of people ask about resting Hill for this week. I don't think that's the right way to go. I think you want to get him going, get some reps back under him, especially if that heel is 100%. We don't know. I don't know, at least, unless you heard something else, why they limited him on Thursday. If it is the heel, then certainly that's a precaution. If it's not, if it's something else, then I do think you want to get him back in the rhythm a little bit.
It appears to be the heel, at least based on the injury report. So questions whether or not he's going to be available for this game just because he's trending in the wrong direction. Yeah, it's possible they gave him the practice off. He doesn't need it. I get that. I don't disagree with it. But big questions there, because usually guys that trend the wrong direction on injury reports tend not to play.
Yeah. And so what does that leave us with? It leaves us with a lot of what we saw against the Denver Broncos. Like you said, McKinnon, Gore, Hardman out there trying to replicate what they did last week. I think that's good in a number of ways. I think it might be a little bit more troublesome. I think overall the Denver Broncos defense is probably better, but I think in certain matchups, particularly the pass rush versus trying to get the ball out to Hardman, may be a little bit more difficult.
Could be. I think the big question I'm going to have is, does Kansas City get into really running the ball in this game? And I know we don't generally talk about them being a running team, but this is a team they should be able to run the ball against. The Steelers have one of the worst run defenses in the NFL.
Let's hope that that's the way that it works out, because I think that will alleviate some of the question marks about the offense overall and just take it to the point. And if we know what Reed's done so far, keeping the pedal down is not something we can expect at this point. So I don't think it's going to be a blasted open game, especially if they have to rely on the run. The question becomes, do you elevate Elijah McGuire or another back in order to have three? Because if you are going to take the run heavy approach, I think walking in there with only two guys and maybe Darrell suited but not playing, that's a little iffy to me.
I think you have to activate McGuire if both those guys don't suit up. It's a question of whether or not Williams suits up. And if CH shoots up, if either of those guys are ready to go, then I think you're probably good with just the three. But you're going to have three running backs going into that game, and you can't just have Burton take a bunch of handoffs. I'm not saying he can't take handoffs, but you don't want to get into a situation where he's your only running back available.
Yeah, that's going to be the key. It's going to be about attrition. In a pinch, could you run Mike Burton? You certainly could. Could you try to put one of the receivers back there and do the jet motion and do the things that you're going to empty the backfield out anyway? Sure. But you want to have enough back so that you can run the ball when you need to and keep everybody else fresh.
Yeah, and you can use tight ends in that regard as well. I mean, Blake Bell is lined up and done some QB sneaks. I don't expect him to actually run the ball, but maybe you could do a run with him once or twice. I mean, there's different ways he played QB in college. He has the ability to do that kind of stuff, so something to think about.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They got to figure that out, and I think because they're playing a wild card game for the first time in a while, I think they have to keep an eye on the prize as well. And it's not just about this game. It is about the road to the Super Bowl, and they are going to get there. And that reminds me, Chiefs fans, that if you're looking for an edge in how you're going to get there, OnlineGambling.com is sponsoring us today. We thank them for that, and they're going to keep you filled with all the information dedicated to everything that you need for that best scenario to get to the Super Bowl, how to bet it, and all the NFL tips that you need to get there. I personally lean like the Chiefs are, you know, going to be one of them teams. I question the matchup, but I'm just going to go there. So, hey, we'll get there as well. You can go however you like, though. Keep an eye on all the playoff predictions. Get all the inside information that you need. Make sure you head to OnlineGambling.com before you lay anything on the line. Got that in there again. That includes all the OG tip section where you can find the Super Bowl picks as well as a bunch of people on the inside track to give you the information you need. Just make sure that you go to OnlineGambling.com/NFL for the latest and all the news, the tips, the beat info, and all the things that you need for this year's playoffs at OnlineGambling.com/NFL. And then you get to, you know, save yourself some money so you can maybe put it on the line. And the easiest way to do that is with our friends over at the Get Upside app. You can find that on any app store. You just download it. It's super simple. You put in our code touchdown and you start tracking the gasoline that you purchase. You get 25 cents on every gallon that you purchase. You get that back into your account. And for a limited time right now, using that touchdown, you get an additional 25 cents on your first gallon. So I go dump 30 gallons of gasoline, diesel in my case, into my vehicle. You end up getting 50 cents back for every gallon that you put in there. You pay yourself back through a PayPal account or bank account or Amazon cards or whatever you want, all through the app, Get Upside. All you have to do is go sign up, use our code touchdown for the Get Upside app. Upside would be nice to have. Upside and uptrend would be kind of nice to have because there's a number of things that have to get done. And we're going to get goals to go and predictions for you next segment. Right now, it's the matchup section for me that has me a little bit concerned. I think we agree, but I just want to get your opinion. Is the number one matchup in this ball game Andrew Wiley and TJ Watt?
I think it has to be. Watt is actually, I'm not going to say he's 100% healthy, but he is healthier than he was the last time the Chiefs played. So that's definitely going to be something to watch. And I think you have to, you know, take into account where he is at all times. You absolutely need to know where he is. You need to know how he's lining up, who he's lining up against, if he's in a wide nine or if he's coming, you know, straight at the right tackle, or if he's inside. I mean, you just need to know where he is. If you take care of TJ Watt, you should be able to take care of their defense for the most part.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. And he's the key in another way for me as well. And I'm looking up the stats here about what they've done lately since the Chiefs played them, which, you know, feels like it was yesterday, but there were some games kinda in between. Was. I just want to point that out. But even with TJ back to full strength and playing pretty well, yes, you have to guard against. He is easily the best player on that defense. They still were only able to put up 18 points. So there isn't the balance there. So as long as you don't let TJ Watt, a healthy one, wreck you, I think you're going to be just fine. Now, Wiley did okay with him when he was injured. The question is, the rejuvenated TJ Watt, what do you do to help? Or do you help? Especially, like we said, with a limited group of running backs maybe available that could chip. I don't think they want to leave a tight end in most of the day. Do you just feel it out and see what happens?
I think you kind of have to fill it out and see what happens. I think you can use Travis Kelce to chip him as he's taking off on a route. You can use wide receivers to chip him into Wiley. I mean, there's lots of different ways you can, you know, disrupt him just getting right off the ball. You know, that's something that you need to at least look at and see how you can use that to your advantage. And you can also do things to try to slow him down. Use screens against him. Use different types of plays that are going to make him be out of position if all he's doing is pinning his ears back.
Yeah, I think that's key. It moves it around. And so that matchup is certainly key. It's also about being able to dominate on the other side. Can you make sure that you flip it like you've seen in recent weeks where there wasn't much pass rush last week against the Denver Broncos. You got one big play that turned the game that came from the pass rush. So in attacking Ben Roethlisberger, which Chiefs fans are
way
in
different
position. Yeah, way different, but still as important. And Chiefs fans, you might get to see the final ball game action for Ben Roethlisberger. And if they can get consistent pressure, that changes the scope entirely in the Chiefs' favor. That has to be the focus for this defense.
I would agree with you on that. I do think that that's going to be a huge key in this game is can they get pressure on Ben? And you have to remember, Ben is not anywhere near like what he used to be, you know, 5 or 6 years ago where he would take hits and be able to stand up. He's going to be a guy that if you hit him, he's going to go down. As long as you're not, as long as you're getting some kind of good hit on him, he will go down. It's not a matter of him shaking people off anymore.
It's a tall order to begin with, but he certainly isn't what he used to be. That said,
I just want to say really quick something we didn't mention in the, at the start of the show. The Pittsburgh Steelers did activate or did allow bring back to practice Juju Smith-Schuster. So questions whether or not he will be ready and playing in this game. Now, obviously, he hasn't played since October. So if he plays, he's going to be a little rusty, probably out of shape. But they're looking at trying to add another weapon. But as I've kind of talked about a little bit on the crossover show, all this is going to come down to what Ben can do. It doesn't really matter the weapons. It matters what Ben is able to do.
Yeah, in delivering the ball, yes, it's nice to have Deontay Johnson. We saw him make a couple plays against the Chiefs last time. It's nice to have Chase Claypool, who I think is underrated. Didn't have as good a sophomore season as his first year, but I do think he's underrated at this point because everybody seems to sleep on him. If they clue into the Bengals film and start trying to run those ISOs and hoping that the Chiefs let them get isolated where it's one-on-one matchups, they have a legitimate thought that they're going to be able to get some plays on him. It's about delivering the ball. And so whether it's – I don't think you have to get that exotic with it. You could get home with a four-man rush. I think that's probably applicable half the time against the Steelers.
Yeah, I think it's definitely applicable, and I think you're also going to be looking at a situation where a four-man rush might not be the only thing you send to Ben. I think that they're going to blitz him at times, and I think that they're going to use that effectively. The real question I have going into this game is, are the Steelers going to make stupid mistakes like they did the last time? Because I'm not going to say that they gifted Kansas City two turnovers, but pretty close. I mean, Ben just kind of threw one up that was not anywhere close. And wasn't it Deontay Johnson that just kind of dropped the ball?
It was an interesting play, to say the least. And at the end of the day, if you're going to do that, then it's up to the Chiefs to not start to stop the slide that we've seen the last few weeks of them looking like them their old selves where they give the ball away. So turnovers are, I think, just as important as they ever were, if not more, in the playoff stretch, because I think fewer numbers of plays actually determine ball games in the playoffs.
Absolutely, and it's going to be a huge thing going into this game. Can Kansas City hold on to the ball? If they continue to hold on to the ball like they have for the most part over the past couple of weeks, I think they'll be in good shape.
Yeah, I agree. We have a couple of goals. We'll get to those coming up after this.
BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. For football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And go ahead, Ryan. I will let you pull up your little props.
What do you want me to juggle?
It's the New Year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolutions because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring by like week three, you might be thinking this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which is usually around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. And there's so many flavors to choose from coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, and many, many more. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 50% probably isn't enough at the rate that I buy those, but that's okay. Goals. It comes back to controlling yourself, limiting what you do incorrectly. But for me, it's got to be about pressures. First and foremost, the catalyst to any ability to not make the game rely on your offense. So my goal is pretty simple. I need 17 pressures out of this defensive front against Ben Roethlisberger.
That's a lot.
It is. I think they can do it.
I'm not saying they can't do it. It's just that's a lot of pressure. You know, it's really going to depend on how many snaps they get against Roethlisberger. I would imagine there's going to be 50, 60 snaps on offense would be my guess. So you're asking for about 33% pressure rate. That's pretty decent. If you get after Roethlisberger that much, I think you're going to be in a good shape. One of the other things we didn't mention is Najee Harris did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. We will not know until tomorrow to see how much he practices. Trey Turner also was a do not practice on Thursday after practicing in full on Wednesday. So those are two things to watch. And the reason I mention those guys is because if you stop their running game and don't allow them to even really make yards on first and second down when they like to run the ball, you're going to be in a much better position putting yourself at a third and long and being able to get after the quarterback. And maybe you send a blitzer and maybe Ben has to get rid of the ball quicker. He is not going to be a guy that's going to beat you like he has in the past.
Absolutely. Like I need to go back and double check. What did Najee run for the first time? It wasn't a whole lot. 4.9 yards per carry against the Chiefs the first time out. It did end up at 93, so it was better than I had remembered. I think that's key to their offense because if you have to keep dropping back, I think that allows the Chiefs to get more pressure. And so having quality, steady play at the linebacker position is going to be key. And they have to make sure that they're not having the misreads that kind of poked their head up against the Bengals. And then I think it was just a lackadaisical tackling effort against the Broncos as well. So do the basics. Fill your run fits. Make those tackles. Be steady. And I think this is going to help them out quite a bit.
You know, my big key or really key that I want to see in this game is I want to see Byron Pringle and I want to see Mecole Hardman get 75 yards apiece. And I say that because I question whether or not Tyreek Hill is going to play. If he plays, that will change a little bit. But I do think that if you're in a situation where you can get those two guys 75 yards apiece or close, you're going to be in a position to win this game because I do think that both those guys can make plays at different times.
Yeah. I mean, and that just steps you up for the playoffs, for the rest of the playoffs as well. Get on a roll because Tyreek Hill is very good about jumping back into the mix when he has to miss time, but it's not perfect. So get those guys on a roll so then it is a true group that can attack the next ball game. I think that's going to be key. So at the end of the day, where do you see this game going?
It's really hard because I think that there are so many different ways that this game could go. Pittsburgh did not play very well the last time. They gave Kansas City a couple of turnovers and really made Kansas City's job a lot easier. I do think Kansas City has the ability to score over 30 points. If they do that, they're going to win this game. The question I have is Pittsburgh going to get their offense going? Ben has struggled at times this year, and at other times he's been okay. You know, last week he made it happen in the fourth quarter. I don't think against this defense you're going to do that. So I still think Kansas City scores 31. I think Pittsburgh scores 17.
Okay. I like the 17. That's where I was going too. Because when you look back at the last game, I do think that this is the playoffs. I think this is an experienced coaching staff with Mike Tomlin out front. I think this is an experienced roster for the most part. I think that they can up their game a little bit. I don't think it's enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but I do think that they can get a little bit more output, especially since the Chiefs defense has taken a couple of stumbles since they last saw them. The last game that they played well was against the Steelers. So on the Chiefs side, I think this could be a pump up game and get them ready for the next contest as they advance to the next round. I also see the Steelers scoring 17. I see the Chiefs at 28 and probably just taking it easy there down the stretch in that ball game. So let us know what you think. What is your prediction? Leave it on the comments on the YouTube channel, like, sub, and hit the bell over there. And you can also leave it in the iTunes reviews. We always check those as well. I hope you guys are ready for this ball game. I will be remote. You will see a post-game show. It will look a little different. And Chris, you're just going to have to run that.
Yeah, I think I'm used to it by now.
Folks, thank you very much. We will speak to you post-game that evening. Hope you have a great weekend and are getting ready for this playoff wild card matchup. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you that time.